So we've been dealing with the subject of the knots. And when I'm talking about the knots, we're not talking about the knots that some of you might feel in your shoulder from a long week or for the week of work have coming up this week. Sounds a little better? All right, let's go with this one. All right, so Jesus, on his famous Sermon on the Mount, was speaking to his disciples, and he gathered around all of his disciples, and he went to a mountain, and he began to speak to his disciples. And while Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he began to talk to them about some very important things in life that's going to help them to grow as people. And he taught them about some things that was going to become better people of God. He taught them about fasting, and he taught them about a whole lot of things. And then Jesus says, there are some things that I really want you to do to help you to have a better life. And then there are some things that you are doing right now that you should not do in order to have a better life. And last week, Pastor Gary opened up the series, and he talked about fear not. And I got to tell you, that was a great message. And I hope everyone got an opportunity to listen to that message last week, because it uncovered so many things in my life that I didn't realize that I was fearful of. And also, it helped me to realize that in order to overcome that fear that I have in my life, I needed to take some action to do that. And you remember when Pastor Gary gave us those nuggets last week. So it is a great opportunity that today I'll be speaking to you on the second part of the series, and this one is worry not, worry not. Now let me ask you a question. Are you a worrywart? Are you a worrywart? Do you find yourself being overly concerned about the future? Do you experience nervousness at the sound of bad news? Do you expect the worst at the sight of trouble? And if so, then you may be a worrywart. Let me move this in front here. Every one of us, at some point in our lives, we face some sort of worrying. Every one of us. It's common amongst us as human beings to be a worrier. We all worry at some point in our lives, and it's important for us to understand that worrying is not something that is going to help us very much. There are some of us that we are worried about our career. We're worried about what direction our careers are going to take. Am I going to be able to graduate from high school? Am I going to be able to graduate from college? I have this very important test that I need to take, and if I don't take this test, then I may flunk out of college, and my future may look dim. There are some of us, we don't just worry about our careers, but we also worry about our children. We worry about our children growing up, kind of world that our children is going to live in. When we look at the world that we're living in now, it causes many of us to have that fear and to worry and to think that, man, I just can't imagine my child growing up in this kind of environment. And so we have that worry about them. There are some of us, we worry about our health. We may have gotten bad news from the doctor, and the doctor tells us that we need to do certain things in order to live a little bit longer. And so we worry as to, am I going to be there for the grandchildren? Am I going to be kids to grow up? I mean, will this treatment that the doctor has given me, will it work? And so we worry about those things, and those things makes us nervous. But not only do we worry about our career or our children or our health, there are some of us, we worry about our money. Our money is very important to us. Am I going to have enough money to retire? Am I going to have enough money so that I can at least leave a little something for my children? Am I going to have enough money to do some of the things in life that I really want to do? Am I going to have those things? And then there are some of us that we worry about our relationships. Will he ever ask me to marry him? Will she say, I do? Will we be able to make it? What kind of relationship are we going to have? How is my relationship going to look? And what kind of relationship am I going to have with my children and my family? And so we worry about these things, and we struggle about these things. And I got to tell you something. I had a lot of those worries as a kid growing up. See, I grew up in a place called Spanish Town, Jamaica, and I grew up with my grandmother. My mother wasn't living with us at the time. She lived just a distance. We used to visit my mother on a regular basis because times was difficult for her. So me and my brother, we grew up with my grandmother. And I got to tell you, growing up with my grandmother wasn't a piece of cake. It wasn't because of my grandmother, but imagine a woman, single, raising 10 kids. And those kids are not hers. And just imagine that majority of those kids are boys, right? That wasn't easy. So my grandmother had to be a little bit in order for us to grow up to be the people that she envisioned in her mind. And it wasn't easy for me growing up and seeing those things. And I used to sit a lot of time when I was going through a hard time with my grandmother, and I used to worry, and I used to wonder, why doesn't my mother want me? Or why doesn't she live with her? And why does she allow me to go through these things that I'm going through? And I used to sit there a lot of time, and I isolated myself, and I used to think a lot and worry about what the future was going to look like for myself. And as I begin to grow older, I realized that I became a person who worries a lot more. Even much so that when I was getting married, I was scared. I was scared. And the reason why I was scared because, see, I never grew up with my father. So I never really saw a relationship per se, a positive relationship as I was growing up. So I worried as to whether or not I'd be able to be the best husband that I could be. And I worried about that. And again, after that, then my wife got pregnant and daughter born. And I can remember being in the hospital when my daughter was born. And I can remember sitting there thinking to myself, am I able to do this? Am I going to be able to be the best father that she needs? Because all that keeps playing back in my mind was the fact that I never grew up with my father. So I didn't really know what it felt like to have a father around. And I questioned myself, and I worried a lot as to whether or not I was going to be able to take care of her. There are many of us today, we are here, and we may have some of the same worries. We may be worrying, am I going to make it? What's the future look like for my life? What the future looks like for my kids? What does it look like? Well, what is interesting is that the Bible has a lot to say about everything that we face in life. Everything that we face in life, if you open up the Word of God, you can see some kind of solution to the problems that you are going through today. And so Jesus, he talked about this. He talked about this on the Sermon on the Mount, and he spent a little bit of time to talk about how we as people are not to worry. He doesn't want us to worry. And the reason why God doesn't want us to worry is that in order for us to have a better life, he is saying that we need to live a worry-free life. But many of us don't understand that what that is. So let's kind of go in there and delve in it a little bit. Now, this is written in the book of Matthew. And Matthew is a book that was written specifically with Jewish readers in mind. And so Matthew, he was here. Whenever he is speaking, he wanted to prove to people Christ is who he said he is, and that he comes from the line of David, and that he is the Messiah. And so Matthew begins to talk about certain things that was very important. And as I said earlier, he talked about prayer, he talked about fasting, and then he came down here and he wanted to talk about something that was on the minds of everybody else. We just don't talk about it, but we all experience it. And Jesus said, hey, listen, when it comes to worrying, guess what I want you to do? I want you to worry not. So in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Let me see this change. Be able to fix that for me? Okay. So he says that, is not your life more than food, and the body more than what you wear? Is not, and the body more than clothes? So Jesus begins to address the issue here of worrying. So the question is, what is it really talking about? What does it mean to worry? What does it really mean to worry? Well, worry comes from Old English, and the meaning behind worry, it means to choke or to strangle. And if you want a little bit more meat on that definition, it means, according to the Webster Dictionary, it means to inflict mental distress or agitation. And it's from where we get the word anxiety, to be able to be anxious. And here's the interesting thing. When we worry, one of the things that happens to us is that we become insecure, or we become uneasy about the negative things that may happen. And guess what? Most of these things never happens. But we worry about them. 100 years ago, Michael de Montaigne said, he says, my life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened. You see, worrying is one of the most common emotions that we all experience. And every single one of us, at some point in our lives, we do experience those kind of worries. Now, most of our worries are in two categories. We worry about things in the future, or we worry about, or we become fearful of losing the things that we have in the present. I was scrolling through on Facebook the other day, and I came across this quote, and it just you know, every time you scroll and you get a quote that just pops you right in the eye. And as I was preparing this message, this quote came, and I thought that, man, God, look how you aligned this perfectly well. Here is a quote. It says that the devil wants us to focus on what's next so that he can cause us to lose focus on what's happening now. And that's one of the things that happened with worry. So nervous, and we become so insecure about the future, keep on thinking about what will happen next week, what will happen tomorrow. Keep on worrying about things, and you know what? It really changes anything, and it makes no difference at all. So there are two things that we usually worry about. And number one, we worry about making decisions. When we're worrying, we're worrying about making decisions. Or, did I make the right decision? I mean, did I really choose the right guy? I mean, it sure seems nice. He fits all the physical profile. He's tall, dark, handsome. But is that it? I mean, what kind of life are we going to have? I mean, what's going to happen when we have children? I mean, how are we going to raise them? And so we worry about those kind of decisions that we make. The next thing that we worry about is we worry about provisions. We worry about provisions. We worry about whether or not we're going to be able to provide for ourselves, whether the needs that we have are going to be taken care of. And those things makes us nervous. Now, here's the thing. When your worrying becomes toxic, that's when it leads to anxiety. And that's when it can become a serious health concern. There are a lot of people who are walking around with health issues because they worry too much. They're worry warts. So Jesus said to them, hey, listen, therefore, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. So in this passage, you're going to find that there are four things that Jesus tells us, four reasons why Jesus tells us not to worry. Four reasons why Jesus tells us not to worry. And then in the end, you will see Jesus gives us some solution for worrying. So here are the four things. The first thing he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Why? Don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about your body, what you will wear. And then he says, is not your life worth more than food?
and the body more than clothes. So Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't eat. Jesus wasn't saying that you shouldn't wear clothes. Jesus wasn't asking for us to abandon our basic necessities. And if you look at this passage very carefully, you'll see that those are the things that he's actually dealing with. Because the people back then, they worried so much about the basic necessities that they were going through. How am I going to be able to survive without the basic necessities? And so Jesus began to address it. And Jesus says, hey, listen, I don't want you to worry about your life. And here is the reason why he says you're not supposed to worry about life. He says because your life is much more important than the basic necessities. We should not be so concerned about life. And the reason why is because, number one, we didn't create it. So if you didn't create it, then why are you so anxious and worried about what's going to happen? And so Jesus was saying that you didn't create life. God did. And here's the thing, he who created your life is telling you not to worry about it. So why we worry? So the first reason is Jesus is saying, listen, don't worry about your life. You should not be concerned with the basic necessities of life. Jesus is saying, hey, listen, remember, your life is much more important than food. Why did Jesus say that? Well, here's the thing. If you think back in the time of Adam and Eve, remember that after God created the heaven and the earth, and then God created mankind, it says that God created man out of the dust of the ground. And then the Bible says that God breathed into man the breath of life, and then man became a living soul. In other words, man is a spiritual being. And so if man is a spiritual being, that means that whatever is needed to take care of man, God already has that covered. And so he says that your life is much more important than what you put in it, than the food that you eat, than the clothes that you wear. In other words, Jesus is saying that God takes personal responsibility for his creation. God takes personal responsibility for you and I. God is looking out for your good, and he's looking out for my good. So Jesus says, hey, listen, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. But not only did Jesus say not to worry about your life, the next thing that Jesus says, hey, listen, I don't want you to worry about your life. But the other thing, reason why you should not worry, number two, he says, we are more valuable to God than anything else. We are more valuable to God than any other creatures that he created. Look at verse number 26. In verse number 26, look what he says. He says, look at the birds of the air. Are they not, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Look at this. Jesus here is attaching a value to his creation, to human beings. Not only that, but Jesus is trying to show you how valuable you are compared to every other creature on earth that he has created. And so Jesus says, hey, I want you to look at the birds of the air. They don't work. Now, to tell you the honest truth, I have never seen a bird working. Not even Big Bird works. He hangs around with children all the time. And I've never seen a bird going out there talking about, you know, I got to go get this job this week because, you know, I got to provide for these little chicklings, you know. They eat like a pig, you know. You never see a bird says that, right? But look what the Bible is saying. He's saying that God takes care of them. God provides for them. And then Jesus says, hey, listen, are you not much more valuable than them? Are you not much more valuable? But I love the other part that Jesus puts. And this is very key to understanding this particular part right here. Jesus said this, and he introduced something to them that makes it a little bit more personal and make them understand a little bit more about who God is. Look what Jesus says. Jesus says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Wow. So Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to think of it this way. You are God's creation, but not only are you God's creation, but God is your Father. And if God is your Father, that means that a father does what? He protects and he provides. And as a father who protects and provides for everything that is in his household, he is saying, your heavenly Father feeds them. And if your heavenly Father is feeding the birds who are less important to him than you, guess what? Then you don't have anything to worry about. So worry not. He says, worry not. So Jesus says, her father provides and he protects his family. He's responsible for the household. And then the third thing that Jesus says, hey, listen, not only do I not want you to worry because your life is worth more, not only do I want you to not worry because you are much more valuable to God than any other living creatures. And the third thing he says, I don't want you to worry because worrying has no positive effect on you. Worrying has no positive effect on you. And let me move on down. So in verse number 27, look what he says. In verse number 27, he says this. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, in some translation, you may find the word cubit, right? And a cubit back then is considered as the length from your elbow to your middle finger, the tip of your middle finger, which is probably about 18 inches. So Jesus is saying, listen, which one of you, by worrying, can add 18 inches on your height? And I got to tell you the honest truth, man. That sounds good for me. Because if that was possible, with all the worries that I've gone through, right now I should be like 6 or 7 foot tall. I should be walking around like Shaq by worrying. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, which one of you by worrying can add any kind of inches to your life? In other words, what Jesus is saying, worrying does not add to life, it subtracts from life. Worrying doesn't add to life, it subtracts from life. You know, yesterday, my kids were involved in a track meet, and we were up in, where is this place called? Not Sandy Lake. It was way up in somewhere in Miami, and they were supposed to perform and run the 100 meter. However, they had a course that they had to attend at school, and the course was over at 11 o'clock in the morning, so I decided to drive up there early so I can secure a spot, so when they finish school, my wife will be able to take them, and then we'll meet at the track meet. At about 10:30 or so, they began to call for people to come and run the 100 meter. And so, as a matter of fact, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, gosh, will my kids be able to be here to come and to run the 100 meters? So I took up my phone and I started texting the kids, and I'm like, hey, listen, what time you finish with your studies? And as soon as you finish, text me and let me know. I begin to worry a little bit. But you know, the interesting thing is, then I started thinking to myself, wait a second, aren't you supposed to be doing a sermon tomorrow and not worrying? And I'm sitting there worrying about whether or not they're going to be there for the event. And then you know what I said? I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry. I'm going to leave it in God's hands. So I got up and I left and I went into my car, and then I just said, you know what? If they reach here on time, so be it. If they don't, what's going to happen? Nothing. And then you know what happened? They didn't make it. And guess what happened? Nothing. You see? The thing is, worrying adds no effect on your life. Now, let me see if I can give you a quick little illustration. And I know I'm walking out of something right here, but just bear with me for a second. See, here's the whole issue of worrying, right? If you think about this rope right here, and you see how long this rope is? Just imagine that this right here is your life. This is your whole life right here. This rope right here. Now, according to research, majority of the things that we are worrying about never comes to pass. As a matter of fact, they say that 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. And it's only about less than 10% of the things that ever come to pass. So if you think about this of your whole life right here, this represents your worrying and what really happens with your worrying. But this is your whole life. But here is the problem. Most of us spend our whole entire life worrying about this. Wow. Look what Jesus is saying. Hey, listen. I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to worry. Here's why. Because you've got all of this. And the worrying that you're doing is only this. It's such a small portion of your life. Even research is able to back it up. Research have said that, listen, if you think about it, at the end of it, as people get older, they begin to worry less. They begin to worry less. So I thought about it, and as I see this, let me just rest this right here for a second. I can't actually get over the fact that most of you guys are actually sitting there looking at this and wondering, why are you leaving it there? Isn't it going to fall off? You guys are worried about it, right? Earlier I was putting up a water bottle up here, and one of the sisters looked at it, and she says, why don't you put it on the floor? It's going to fall. You know, but you know, this is exactly what happens to most of us. We look at the thing right here and we worry about it. Now, here's the thing. Let me see if I can change this right here, or I can change something just by worrying about it. Oh, it's gonna fall! It's gonna fall! It's gonna fall! It's gonna fall! It didn't fall. It didn't fall. So my worrying about this falling has no effect at all, does it? And that's why Jesus says, hey, listen, I don't want you to worry. And the reason why I don't want you to worry is because guess what? It subtracts from your life. It doesn't add to your life. I don't want you to worry. Worry not. He says, worry not. Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And the fourth thing that Jesus says, here's the fourth thing that Jesus says. Jesus says, listen, whenever you worry, it displays something about you, and it displays how you view your Heavenly Father. And it says that when you worry, that means you have a lack of trust, a lack of confidence in God. Let's read. Look what it says. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glories or splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Little faith. You see what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying, if you ever look at the flowers and just see how beautifully they are arranged. And Jesus could have talked about the garden where there was a gardener in there that was setting those flowers and making it look good. But remember, Jesus was standing on a mountain. And what Jesus was probably doing is, hey, listen, I don't want you to look at the garden which is affected by mankind, but I want you to just look at all the flowers that God has created. And just look how beautiful they're dressed. And I want you to figure out one thing. That if God could take care of that, I'm pretty sure that he can take care of you. I'm pretty sure that he can take care of you. If God can take care of that, I'm much more positive that God will be able to take care of you. Here's the thing. God wants us to trust him for our daily provisions. God wants you and I to trust him for our daily positions. Provisions. And here is the reason why. Because he is capable of providing for you and I. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. If you look at the flowers, they do nothing to provide for themselves, but God takes care of them. And not only does God take care of them, but they look beautiful and they look wonderful.
They look beautiful, they look wonderful, and they're gorgeous because God takes care of them. And God is saying, hey, listen, if I can do that to the flowers, guess what? I can do that for you. I can do that for you. I can do that for every single one of you. I can do that for you. I'm sorry, this thing is not working, cooperating with me today. But so God says, hey, listen, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and is tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And I think one of the reference to this passage here was the fact that Noah, after God created this, I wanted to show you actually. Here it is. There you go. The fact is that Noah was rebuilding the ark. And even though God told Noah that it was going to rain, Noah was a little bit scared. And he did listen and did what God told him to do. But in the end, he wasn't really fully confident in what was going to happen. Because remember, he has never experienced rain before. And it so happened that when the rain began to fall, God had to push Noah into the ark and close the ark himself. Because he lacked a little bit of faith. And God is here saying, hey, listen, there are some of us that God has provided for us over and over and over again, but we worry so much about our provisions. And God is saying, the reason why is because you don't really have any confidence in him. You don't really trust him. Here's the thing. God is the shepherd, and he takes care of everything that we need, to the fact that he said, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why did David say, I shall not want? It's because when God is being the one providing for you, you won't even have a want. Because God will take care of you. God will take care of you. One of the reasons why we worry so much is because really and truly, at the core, we are selfish. Because if you look at worrying, what worrying says is that I'm worried really about me. It's all about me. I'm worried about my future. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my money, my job, my relationship. And it's all about us. But Jesus began to say, hey, listen, guess what? I've got a solution for all your worries. I've got a solution for all your worries. And I call that a worrylution. A worrylution. And what is the worrylution? Jesus says, hey, listen, if in order for you to stop worrying, in order for you to not worry, here is what you should do. Jesus says, the first thing you need to do is become a God chaser. Is to become a God chaser. What does he say? He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, he says, will be given unto you. Notice what Jesus is saying here. I want you to start prioritizing your life. And the priority is, when it comes to your daily provisions, he is not saying to totally ignore them. He is saying that you need to have a transfer between you and God, and you need to give those over to God, but you need to start seeking God. The word seek right there means to chase after, or to run after, or to search until you find. That means that there is intensity involved. So it's not just I'm going to church just to see if I can find God somehow. You know, there are some of us, we do come to church on a regular basis. And then there are some of us, we do come every so often. And there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing. What God is saying is this. If you want to live a worry-free life, he is saying, I want you to come after me. I want you to seek me. And God always gives a promise. He says that if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me, you will find me. So Jesus here is saying, hey, listen, I want you to search for God. I want you to seek after God. And I want you to find after him and his kingdom. His kingdom. Now, the word kingdom here means his rule or his authority.
meaning that God wants you to seek after his will. What is God's will for my life first before I start seeking out what is God's hand? See, the problem with most of us is we come and we seek after God's hand. We look after what can God give me? Give me this, God. Give me that. Give me this. And God is saying, hey, listen, I have no problem giving you stuff. But I don't want to be your hand. I want you to chase me. And this verse was actually given with the idea in mind that you're searching for God because something else is connected to him. And when you find God, guess what? You get everything else that is connected to him. So Jesus says, hey, listen, when you seek God and his will, here is what happens next. Then everything else is going to be added to you. He's going to connect it all to you. It's a package. It comes with him. And so Jesus says, hey, listen, if you keep on worrying, then you're not going to get this. But as a way of not worrying, I want you to start seeking God, seeking his will, and then he will provide all these things for you. So here are some things that Jesus says after he says that. He says, don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry, because God takes care of all of that. And if God clothed the grass of the field, will he not clothe you? How much more will he clothe you? And then he gives you of little faith. And then he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. But then lastly, he says, listen, now, I don't want you to worry about tomorrow. So not only did he say to chase God, but then he says, live for today. Trust God for tomorrow. Live for today. Trust God for tomorrow. Sometimes our problem is we get those two mixed up. Because what we're doing is we are so anxious about tomorrow that we forget to live for today. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus said it. He says in verse number 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. So Jesus says, hey, listen, I want you to chase God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live for today. Live for today. So what else is he saying? I want you to worry less. One of the things that I've noticed about worrying, and I've always lived my life this way, is that there are two things that I believe that you should not worry about. Everything else, I'm going to give you permission right now to worry about. All right? Two things you should never worry about, and then everything else you can worry about. What are the two things? First of all, I don't want you to worry about things that you cannot control. Here's the thing. If you cannot control it, why in the world are you worrying about it? And if you think about it, there's so many of us that we worry about things that none of us have any control over tomorrow. But we sure do spend a time worrying about it. I love the song that says that, listen, I may not know tomorrow, but I know who's holding my hand. And the interesting thing is that God knows tomorrow. And so if I can put my trust and my confidence in God, then tomorrow it's going to take care of itself. Because God already sees tomorrow, I can't. So why am I worrying about that? So you don't worry about things that you have no control over. Second thing, you do not worry about things that you have control over. Seems crazy, doesn't it? Because here's the thing. If you have control over it, please tell me, why worry about it? Because if there are things that I can control myself, if there are things that I can do myself, why am I killing myself worrying about it? So those are the two things. So then here is it. So what's God's prescription for this? Here's his prescription. He says, cast all your anxieties on him. Talking about Jesus here. Why? Because he cares for you. That's God's solution for worry. Not only is he said to be a God chaser, not only is he saying to live for today and forget about tomorrow, right? But he's saying, listen, everything that you're worrying about, all of your anxieties, I want you to take it and I want you to place it on him. I want you to take those anxieties and I want you to put it and place it on him. And then he says, and do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, he says, present your request to God. There are three things that Jesus says here. One, he says, you must pray. So whenever you're worrying, Jesus is saying, according to the Apostle Paul here, that you must pray. Prayer is very helpful in the time of worrying. Because here's what prayer is. Prayer is total dependence on God. And so when you are totally dependent on God, then you worry less. So not only is he saying to pray, but then he says, give thanks. Give thanks. In every situation, we ought to give thanks. You woke up this morning, give thanks. Guess what? There's some of you that probably didn't even know how you were going to be here this morning, but you're here. There's some of you who might not even know what next week holds. But here's the thing. God is going to take care of that. And that's why you put your trust in God and you give him thanks for everything that he does. And not only does he say to pray and to give thanks, but then he says, lastly, I want you to petition, to make your request unto God. See, God is not afraid of you asking him of things. Because God, as a father, he wants to provide for you. He wants to provide for me. He wants to provide for us. And that is the issue with worrying. You see, worrying becomes this weight that you and I have, and we carry it on our backs all the time, and it weighs us down. And sometimes we worry so much that we feel like we don't have any peace. We feel like we don't have any peace. And I love what the second part of this particular passage says. In verse number 7, he says, and the peace of God. So when you pray and when you give thanks and when you ask of God, the Bible here says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word peace right there is very important. The favor of God. And he's saying that when you apply these things and these principles in your life, he is saying that God himself is going to give you his peace. And I want you to think about this. One of the reason why Paul uses those words is it was a military term. It was a military term. Because you notice he says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your mind. Remember we said what the definition of worrying was? It means to choke or to strangle. That's hostility against your mind. And here Paul is saying, when you pray, when you give thanks, and when you make your petition to God, guess what? The peace of God will guard your hearts and your mind. Jesus wants you to have a stress-free life. He's not telling you that you're not going to go through difficulties. He's not telling you that things are not going to happen. But what Jesus is saying, in order for you to live a worry-free life, first, seek God. Chase him. Put your confidence in him. Live for today. Leave God to take care of tomorrow. And then he said, don't be anxious, but pray, give thanks, and make your request known to him, and he will give you his peace. There are some of us that are here this morning that, to be honest, this message speaks to us. Because when we think about our lives and the way that we've been living our lives, we've been a worrywart. And we worry so much about everything that we have to do and the things that are going to happen and so on and so forth. But I want you to think back on your life. How long have you been worrying like that? Has anything changed? Why don't you try God's prescription this morning? Why don't you make a decision this morning that I'm going to chase after God, and I'm going to chase after God's will, and I'm going to allow God to bless me with his peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to study your word, Lord God. And as we learn about that you, God, wants to give us your peace in the midst of the storm of worrying in our minds, oh God, we pray that we will walk out of here worry-free, Lord God. Not because of anything that we can do, but because we put our trust and our confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen.